Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this Thursday afternoon for a special edition of Texas Scorecard TV. I'm Brandon Walton, managing editor of Texas Scorecard, and today we're sitting down for a conversation with someone I think a lot of y'all know, retired Lieutenant Colonel, former Congressman, and now the new Republican Party of Texas Chairman, Alan West. Thank you so much for joining us, Chairman.
Good to be with you, Brandon. Thank you.
So just a few weeks ago, you were selected by the Republican Party of Texas's delegates at their convention to be the next chairman of the party. And, you know, I think this position is really interesting when you compare it to a lot of other political positions in the sense that there's not really a transition period. You get elected and you start day one. What has that been like over the past few weeks as you started to take the reins of the party?
Well, one of the things, having spent 22 years in the United States military and having gone through transitions, changes of command, things of that nature, you prepare and start to get yourself ready. So as soon as that change of command happens, because then you're the new commander, really, the exact same thing here. And so it's very important that you quickly sit down with your staff, understand the programs that are in place, what to sustain, what to improve, but at least you have a vision of where you want to go forward. And I think that in this, my third week, I think people have seen a very seamless transition. It was as if nothing ever happened, and that's what you want to have.
Right. And looking at some of the current news right now, you know, I always take polls with a grain of salt, especially after 2016. But if they're to be believed, there's been a number of polls that have shown, you know, a tightening race for President Trump, Senator John Cornyn, some other Republican lawmakers down the ballot. Do you believe these polls? And if so, you know, how does that affect what the party does going into November?
Well, these polls right now are registered voters, not most likely voters. That's a big difference. But I think it is also important that you take these polls into consideration. Especially, I just recently got a back brief on a poll, and it was the messaging. It was very important to listen to the different points that they were bringing out. What were the triggers? What were the things that really did get the interest of the respondents? And so I think that what you have yet to see, Brandon, is that we have not done a full-fledged job of really defining who the Democrats are. I call it the progressive socialist left, and the detrimental effects that they could have on the great state of Texas if they came to power. You know, last week I was out in Midland, Odessa with the president, and just think about this. You know, here is Joe Biden talking about he wants to end drilling, he wants to end fracking, he has embraced the Green New Deal. Chances are he put Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in as the Secretary of Energy. Now, what does that do for the great state of Texas? So I think as we progress forward now, we can really start to define the left and their policies and how they're not going to continue on with the growth, the opportunity, prosperity, and the success that we see here in the great state of Texas.
When you were running and campaigning to be chairman, you talked about how important Texas was in context of the rest of the nation and leading and being the biggest red state. How does that affect your job right now? Obviously, you're chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, but, you know, all eyes right now are on Texas.
Well, you know, it is a heavy load, and I just pray to the Lord that my shoulders can carry that load. But the important thing, that's why I wrote that book back in October 2018, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death, because so goes Texas, so goes this nation. And everyone understands that if you lose Texas, you lose America as the constitutional republic that we know. And so many people are looking to Texas to be that leader, to that lone star that illuminates the other 49. So I think that's a huge responsibility that Republicans, conservatives here in Texas need to accept and understand. And that's really part of that Texas swagger, that Texas way of life, that resilient spirit that we see here in Texas.
Thank you. If you're just tuning in right now, we're speaking right now with Republican Party of Texas Chairman Alan West. Chairman, at the Republican Party of Texas convention a few weeks ago, delegates had the opportunity to decide 8 legislative priorities, and I think we're putting those up on the screen right now. Some of these, like ending taxpayer-funded lobbying, for example, or constitutional carry, these have been priorities of the party in years past, but have been killed in the legislature, sometimes even by Republican members. What role do you believe the party has in ensuring Republican elected officials work towards the priority seen in years past?
Well, I think that's a very important thing. And, you know, I, as the chairman, am supposed to be that bearer of those principles, those values, and those priorities. And that's why just last night I had my first conference call with the House GOP caucus. And we talked about how we work together, especially getting our GOP members reelected. You know, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and Michael Bloomberg are dumping about $30 million into the state of Texas to flip the Texas State House. Why? They want to get a hold of the Texas State House for redistricting, of course. But then they also want to, they understand that control of that legislative body is so important for them controlling the state. So I think that, you know, we have to work together. We have to understand our mutually supportive positions. And I want to see us start to not believe that we have to compromise, acquiesce, appease, negotiate with the progressive socialist left. We should not have chairman of very critical committees in our House GOP, the supposed to be a majority, such as Mr. Pancho Navarez, who was the one that was able to kill that constitutional carry in his committee.
Right, and a Democrat, not just a Democrat, but somebody who has had a bit of a criminal history since then, since the legislature has gone out, still holding that chair position.
Yes.
You've previously voiced some disagreement, and we hear this from a lot of our viewers, with the string of executive orders and this new style of issuing executive orders by Governor Greg Abbott over the past several months in response to the coronavirus. First of all, have you spoken with the governor since you've taken the chairmanship? And do you think he should call a special session, or what should he be doing right now?
Yeah, I had an opportunity to sit down and meet with the governor last week when we were out in Odessa prior to the lunch with President Trump and his presentation. But again, I think that America and Texas, we are, you know, three branches of government, not three branches of rule. And things in our Texas Constitution that define the powers, the enumerated powers of our respective branches. And I think it's key for everyone to understand that no elected official has the enumerated power to make the decision about who or what is essential, not here in Texas, not anywhere in the United States of America. So you have that very specific period of time, I believe in the Texas Constitution is 30 to 45 days, where you can act under emergency orders. But then when you want to continue on, it's important that you do bring the legislature in, because that is that key in the checks and balances. And I know that right now we're looking at several of our members of the Texas State House and the Senate who have brought a lawsuit against the governor over the almost $300 million that are going to be spent for this contact tracing with this MTX group. You know, we're supposed to have taxpayer funds that are apportioned based upon the legislature and making sure that that's part of our budget process. So yes, we should have a special session, because that's what, you know, the people expect, and that's how you govern, not rule. And orders, dictates, mandates, decrees, and things of that nature, that's not what we're about in Texas. That's not what we're about in America.
Already, just since you've taken the chairmanship, you've been traveling. I've seen you've been in El Paso, Rio Grande Valley, and some other places. What are you hearing right now as you go to those places and talk to Republican activists across the state?
Well, people are concerned. The people are starting to get that sense of urgency. And especially, Brandon, when you think about what happened last weekend in our state capitol here in Austin, Texas, where you had 10 to 11 buses of Antifa and Black Lives Matter mob. I mean, these aren't protesters. This is a mob that landed here in our capital city. And, you know, when you walk around Austin and you see the boarded up storefronts of businesses, when you see the incredible plight of this homeless situation in the tent cities that are set up, we don't want to see our capital city look like Portland or like Seattle or like San Francisco. This is Texas. We are different. And I think that is what people are starting to understand. And what we have to do is get all of our elected officials, all of our candidates on that same sheet of music and making that clear delineation about what Texas is, what it stands for, and the vision going forward.
Deborah asks in our comments right now, and by the way, if you have any questions, please feel free to leave them in the comments right now if you're watching live. But Deborah asks, are you going to hold elected officials accountable when they go way beyond their scope of office or against our Republican principles?
Well, I think you're already seeing me do that right now. And I've just been in the position for 3 weeks. And look, I mean, if you look in the news and you see what is happening with the National Rifle Association, mm-hmm. I'm a board member of the National Rifle Association. I think people know that I spoke out very strongly against Wayne LaPierre and his lack of leadership. And look at what the result has been. So I have always been someone that has stood up on principles and values. And maybe that's why the Republican Party of Florida redistricted me out of my own congressional district back in 2012, but that's okay because for me, it's about the country. It's not about any personal discomfort that people tend to believe that they're going to inflict upon me. So it is about principles and values. I was the number one target for the Democrat Party in 2012. Republicans redistricted me out. So that's how I'm going to be. I'm always going to be a straight shooter, and I'm honored to be in this position as the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas.
Excellent. Suzanne asks in the comments, she says, I own a business that's been allowed to be open 3 months in 2020. How am I supposed to survive? When is someone going to put a stop to this? I know that you've heard, you know, countless stories of business owners who have been struggling during this time. What are your thoughts on reopening the economy right now?
Well, I think that, you know, you're starting to do more harm to the patient than good. As a matter of fact, I always try to stay up on statistics and things of this nature. And the Centers for Disease Control, 94% of so-called COVID-19 deaths are associated with at least one other serious medical condition. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about people that already have this medical condition, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, obesity, you name it. And I think COVID-19 is an enabler of already a disease that is prevalent. But think about this, Brandon. Here in Texas, 75 fatalities in Texas are 65 years of age or older. And that comes from the Texas Department of State Health Services. So again, here are the facts, here are the truth. So we can do what is necessary to protect the most vulnerable demographic that is out there, obviously 65 and above. But recently, you know, we have hit a high point, I believe, about 3.2 million Texans applying for unemployment benefits. We're seeing our businesses, you know, suffer. We've got to make sure that this strong economy, the reason why people come to Texas is the indomitable entrepreneurial spirit and the policies that enable that. We've got to also protect them as well. And that doesn't mean that we're putting an economy over the lives of people, because right now what you're seeing, suicides are up, domestic abuse is up, and we don't want to have all of those negative aspects of this overtake the good that we think we're trying to do.
Another question from the comments, Josh asks, what are Chairman West's thoughts on parental rights and overreaching CPS? This was one of the proposed planks for the legislative priorities that didn't meet the threshold, but certainly met the threshold to be considered by the body. What are your thoughts on parental rights and CPS in Texas?
Yeah, that goes back to SB 10 and 11, I believe. And they were just, you know, you cannot undermine parenting. And what I have seen happen over my 59 years is there has been a wholesale attack against the traditional nuclear family. And I'll give you a case in point. When I was born in 1961, the two-parent household in the Black community was almost 77%. Today it's 24%. And you continue to see government coming in and undermining the rights and the authorities of parents, taking away more of their choices, such as the ability for parents to make the choice as far as where their child is going to be educated, which is very important right now when you see the teachers unions, the AFT and the NEA, turning the issue of COVID-19 into a more political issue, and it's affecting our children and the choices that our parents can make. So I'm a very strong proponent. I'm a dad. I have two daughters, 27 mm-hmm. and 23. So I'm a very strong proponent of parental rights and freedoms and liberties.
You made waves just days after taking office when you challenged the chair of the Texas Democrat Party to a series of Lincoln-Douglas debates. I believe the Democrat Party quickly said, no, we don't want any part of that. Were you surprised by the response?
No, I wasn't surprised by the response. And I think that's very telling. And I think that everyone across the great state of Texas should say, why is it that the Texas Republican chairman wants to sit down and have that intellectual exchange, that intellectual debate, to talk about the two competing visions for Texas, constitutional conservatism and progressive socialism. But yet the Texas Democrat Party chairman would rather say no and just want to issue insidious, imbecilic, you know, press releases. So either they are, you know, confident in the policies that they believe in or they're not. And this goes to show you that when you talk about the policies of the left, they have failed everywhere. They have failed in Venezuela. They have failed in Eastern Europe. The reason why young people in Hong Kong are standing up against, you know, communists. So why can't we have that open and free debate? So it is not about, you know, dumping millions of dollars. If you can't sit down and have the simple debate about who you are, what you believe in, then why should we give you electoral patronage? Why should we allow you to take control over Texas? If you're afraid to define or defend what Turn Texas Blue means, then we shouldn't vote.
Yes, I think there were a lot of people who would have looked forward to seeing those debates, and but it's, you know, like you said, it's very telling that they chose not to participate. We've talked about the Republican Party.
Well, Brandon, what I want Republicans to do is when they're out talking to their Democrat friends, say, why is it that your chairman doesn't want to debate our chairman?
Yeah, that's a tough question for some Democrats to answer. I can't imagine. We've talked about the Republican Party of Texas convention. We've had some questions from folks. It was obviously, we don't need to rehash the whole thing, but I think, you know, most people would agree it was somewhat of a debacle. It was online. It went into the early hours of the morning. And even then, there was some unfinished business. What is the status of the rest of that business right now? There were still the rules in the platform that need to be voted on. Is there going to be an in-person convention? How is this going to work?
Well, absolutely. You know, I believe that all of those delegates out there, I don't want to see them disenfranchised again. There were so many delegates that never got credentialed throughout that entire virtual convention. So we did have that committee of 10 that met. They created their recommendation. That recommendation has been sent out for everyone to see. But the important thing is that I said that the delegates need to have the opportunity for an up and down vote. And what I would like to see happen, if it's a down vote, then we will move to see how we can do a regional SD in-person convention. We'll have it spread out over North, South, East, West, Central Texas, bring those SDs together, and we will resolve the business of our rules and our platform. And I think we can do that in a 12 to 18 hour period, start at 9 a.m. on a Saturday, and we'll go until we wrap up that business.
A lot of people right now are unhappy with the state of politics in Texas, but also in Washington, D.C. What can people be doing right now if they're at home, you know, to get plugged in and fight back against government overreach?
Well, I break it down to three things. It's inform, educate, and activate. You've got to inform yourself on these issues. You've got to go out there and study and be educated on these issues. And every time that I'm out, I try to recommend some books or some things that people need to read to fundamentally understand constitutional conservatism as opposed to progressive socialism. Because the thing, Brandon, that we have to realize is that this now is all about the relationship between the individual citizen and the institution of government. And when you think about our founding documents here in Texas or the United States of America, it's all about the individual, their rights, their freedoms, their liberty, their sovereignty, as opposed to the intrusive nature and the preeminence of the government over them. That's why that phrase is about the consent of the governed, not the consent of the ruled. So I think that's the critical thing. And sadly, we're not teaching history. We're not teaching civics. So we have that information gap that is out there. So what I would like to see people do, and I always say, find you a battle buddy that you can go out and you can study and understand these things and have these policy groups, have these issues groups, have groups that you sit down and you meet and you talk about things and you share that knowledge so that then when you go out, you can be better activated to engage. And I always tell folks, go out and find five people that don't think and believe as you do, and get three out of that five. That's 60%. 60% is a landslide in a political race, but it has to come down to principles and values. And when we talk about principles and values, it transcends color. It transcends demographics. And that's what I want to do as the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, is talk about true constitutional conservative principles and values that get us all on the same sheet of music.
Tanya asks in the questions in the comments right now, what do bars do about the iron fist of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission? This is a serious discrimination against these businesses who are facing bankruptcy. Certainly, we've seen this not just with bars, but with small breweries, wineries. What are they supposed to do when you have these state agencies, you know, issuing these rules that are shutting them down?
Well, once again, that's why I don't like these draconian measures. Now, there are rules and regulations that our businesses have to operate under, but we don't want to see government that starts to pick the winners and losers in the marketplace. As I said, you know, the only thing that's essential in the United States of America is liberty. And Benjamin Franklin had a great quote, those who surrender essential liberty for temporary security will in the end deserve neither liberty nor security. So we cannot allow and have government officials and government agencies essential and who is essential and what is not essential. So I would say to all of those business owners, come together because there's strength in numbers, and then go and come down here to Austin, come down and demand that these agencies hear you out, because we're creating a bigger problem in driving so many of our small businesses, which is the backbone of the economy in America and in Texas, into a state of bankruptcy. And that's not what we want to have. We want to have people that are victors and not victims.
Excellent. And last question, I get a lot of questions about this. You've signed off a lot of your emails. Got the graphic up there. What's the meaning? What's the history behind that?
Sure. There's an incredible quote. And like I said, I served 22 years in the military, and the quote goes, and it's an anonymous quote. It says that the devil whispers to the warrior, "You cannot withstand the coming storm." The warrior whispers back, "I am the storm." And so I took that, and I want the Texas GOP to know that we are the storm. We are the storm, the red storm rising, that is going to protect Texas, its principles and values, its lineage, its legacy, its history for future generations. And we will hold on to the United States of America because of what we do here in Texas.
Thank you again so much for joining us, Chairman West. I know you're doing a Facebook Live event tonight at 7 o'clock on the Texas GOP Facebook page. So I hope folks tune into that. But thank you for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure, Brandon. Thank you, and take care, and God bless Texas.
Thank you. God bless Texas. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please remember, you can check out the latest news around the Lone Star State at texasscorecard.com. Have a great afternoon.